Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today's message is less competition, more accomplishment. And I continue now in 2 Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is a theological, instructional, relational guidebook with rules for godly living and a call to the kingdom of God's service. The book of Corinthians is a power book. And in 1 Corinthians 1, which is the first message I preached in the first Sunday of January, Paul gives a brief overview as to what we will learn from this first book of Corinthians. He sets the tone for everyone, reminding us that in life there will be trials, but no matter what the trials, we must be consistently giving thanks, regardless. And then he begins the second part of that chapter with a reminder to all believers as to whose church it is. Why? Why is he reminding us? Because sometimes, folks, when we have been in a church for very long, there's a sense of belonging and a sense of ownership, which is right. It's good. There should always be a sense of belonging and a sense of ownership. That's a correct attitude. But at times, that same attitude can go astray, and some of the folks begin to think it's their church. Paul sets this tone to say, this is God's church for everyone. Have a sense of ownership. Have a sense of belonging, but never forget whose church it is. It's God's church. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul begins to show the theological points that we must understand properly so that we understand fully the kingdom of God. And he underscores and stresses these theological understandings to be of high importance. That is why I brought in Reverend Ewan Butler. He's a scholar. He's a theologian. He teaches in our Bible colleges. And I wanted you to hear it cut from a theological perspective because that second chapter is very pivotal in our growth. And so he will be returning in a few weeks because the storm, of course, changed up everything. And so he will continue that second part of chapter 2. And I will begin today with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, less competition, more accomplishment. Would you just stand again for the reading of God's word? Would you just stand with me? 1 Corinthians 3, I read verse 1 to 11. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger and you still aren't ready. Pause for a moment. Who's Paul speaking to? Did you hear what he just said? Okay, did you all hear what he just said? All right, let's start from verse 2 again, just in case somebody missed what he's saying to the church. Verse 2, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? Well, one of you says, I am a follower of Paul. And another says, I follow Apollos. Aren't you acting just like the people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Sorry, am I there? Okay. After all, who is Paul? Apollos, who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes this grow. Let me just, wait, sorry, something. Okay, there it is. It's not important. Let's read verse 7. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. That's where we pause today. Father, let the word itself preach into our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, ProPresenter. We're having some problems today. Again, technology is, it's either good, bad, or ugly. But we thank God. And we bless you guys for the work. Yes, give them an applause. So the chapter begins with a strong warning. That warning is no carnality. No carnality. What is carnality? Carnality means it's a person who knows better, has been trained to do better, is gifted of God to move into better, but instead they've allowed their minds to focus only on fleshly, foolish, earthly things. Carnality. Here's what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you like I would to spiritual people. He's saying, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. I had to talk as if you belong to the world, as though you were infants in Christ. Carnality is when we already know what to do, know how to do better, but we choose to behave as if, he says, like infants rather than people who are growing in Christ. So it is a choice. Carnality is a choice because you're not a child. A child doesn't know better because the child is growing into better. But when you are an adult or a mature Christian or a young person that knows the Lord, carnality is when you know better, trained to do better, gifted to do better, but you've allowed your mind to stay on the foolish, earthly, destructive things that are against God's will. So Paul is appealing to brothers and sisters, meaning Christian community, and he's saying this: do not behave like the others. The others have not followed Christ and are not growing in Christ. Their lives do not reflect the holiness of Christ, but yours should. Your life should reflect the holiness of Christ. Doesn't matter what level. You could be the Christian last week or last year or 15 years ago or 15 decades ago. Doesn't matter. He's saying your life must be different than those who are in the world. And he repeats this issue to the Corinthian church because why? They came out of a pagan culture. It is Paul that started the church in Corinth, and he knows their culture. He knows their pagan mindset. He knows what it's like living in Corinth. But he's saying to them, but you have come into Christ. You cannot be bringing in your pagan mindset into your Christian lifestyle. There's a good amen from somebody. See, they incorporated their pagan culture into their Christianity. And we've got to be careful. Remember, we cannot bring carnality into Christianity. And there's it's called syncretism, where we synchronize the two as one. And Paul's saying it can't happen. So there's a few that he addresses right off the top. And he says this. 1 Corinthians 3:3. Watch the envy, watch the strife, watch the division. Why? For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are still controlled. You know what he's saying? You're walking with Christ, but you're allowing the sinful nature to control you. You are jealous of one another, quarreling with another. Doesn't that prove your... He says, I don't have to ask you if it proves it. I'm telling you, doesn't your behavior prove what you're doing? Aren't you living like the people of the world? And this was such an ongoing problem. It was so serious that Paul begins to repeat it. He says there's envy, there's strife, and there's division. And friends, these can be very subtle in the church today. It's not obsolete, it's just subtle. Some folks will not demonstrate envy openly. They'll just refuse to work with others, so they fail. Some folks will stir strife to navigate a situation they don't like to go their way. And it's very lovingly, kindly, beautifully looking. But he says that's a carnal spirit that's using your pagan culture to stimulate a strife that others don't recognize as strife. And so he's addressing it. He's saying you can't stir these actions because it says that you have not left the pagan culture. You brought it into your lifestyle as a child of God. I'm going to confess, we faced this issue many, many years ago. Not recently, but many years ago, when someone walked away, but they left the ministries to argue misguidedly. Some of the ministry leaders thought something was done to hurt the person when absolutely nothing was wrong, nothing was done. It was just their way of showing how powerful they were and how much people they had garnered under them. And the only reason I'll use this example is those that went through that season knew it took years to bring it back in alignment because we had nothing to defend, nothing to say, and we don't, as ministers, get out there and defend everything, so you keep quiet and you take the beating, but you watch people's lives diminishing because somebody subtly got them off course. And Paul is addressing that type of thing here, saying, you think it doesn't happen? It happens all the time. Very subtle, very destructive, very pagan, carnal mindset. So Paul saw it, and he says this, we have all seen how childish behavior in adulthood becomes destructive because it contaminates all those around. Paul's pointing out a spiritually healthy church does not and cannot behave that way. So he's putting it out on the line saying, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or what you do or what you don't do. He's putting the, whoa, hold up. You're going to grow in Christ. You're not a baby. He says, you're quarreling like children, living off milk like babies. What happens when a growing child is kept only on milk since they were newborn and until they're growing? What happens? Every parent here knows growing children cannot feed on milk alone. In fact, babies must be weaned off milk. Why? Because if they need varied nutrients, iron and different things for their development. So they need solid food for proper growth. If not, their growth is stunted. The milk remains their primary source at a certain age. And I think some parents would say, what age did you wean your child? 8 months, 9 months, 12 months? Didn't matter because everyone grows at different level. But there comes a certain month where parents have to say, okay, got to bring some solids in, need some iron, need some nutrients, need something to let your teeth grow strong, let your kidneys develop, let your bones get stronger. Then Paul is saying every good parent knows you can't keep the babies on milk because you destroy them into their future. Come on. So why is he bringing this into the church? Because he's saying you need spiritual nutrients. You need spiritual nutrients so that you will grow in the Lord. You cannot, hear me online, you can't just live on an online diet. That's constant milk. You've got to get in the Word, got to get in prayer, got to get in community, got to get into fasting and praying, got to get deep in the Bible study, got to get into the prayer meeting. If not, you are a baby whose liver and organs, kidney, nothing is functioning. And so you're constantly malnutritioned and sick because you've not made yourself spiritually healthy. And there's a lot in the church you've allowed yourself to be malnutritioned. No nutrients, no iron, no fiber, no strength, no bone, no backbone. That's why if the storm comes, it will bend you because you have nothing to sustain you into the future. So get ready to grow in the kingdom of God. You either lead well or you follow well, but followers also must learn to lead. Every follower must learn to do something. How do you grow? How do you grow? How do children grow? Well, we allow them. First, you show them what to do, and then talk to me. You let them do it. How many of you remember your children when you would tie their booties or their shoes? And there came a certain age, they started to fight you. How many of you had kids that would fight you at a certain age? Let me tie my own shoe. Why? Because children realize that I don't want you to do this for me always. I want to do it myself. Because something is inside of us that tells us that we got to learn to do this ourselves. So what is different in your spiritual life if your diet is only listening to a message or going, oh, I have all my podcasts. Oh, yeah? Is that it? When you get to heaven and you're standing outside the gate and gonna tell God how many podcasts you listen to? It's not enough. Leaders lead, but followers must learn to lead. Every year, January and September, we have leadership development, or we call enrichment seminar, to help everyone grow into some form of development in the kingdom of God. Why? Because God has no spiritual heroes. Everyone is called to some spiritual task in advancing the kingdom of God. Where you can go, I can't go. What you can do, I can't do. What your makeup is like, mine is different. There's every person. That's why when we did the leadership seminar and I taught on the hand, whichever finger you are, you fit on the hand. Remove even the small pinky and the hand is no longer in bright order. Remove the thumb and the hand is not fully functional. We're functional when you figure out who you are in Christ and God and what you bring to the table, but you bring something to the table. And this is not the time and decade for you to sit there and never do anything saying that I'm new, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that, I'm shy, and blah, blah. The devil is a liar and he has sown you some things that are not truth. Get over it and ask God, what can I do for the sake of the kingdom of God? We're not saying all this just to make the church. We're saying wherever you go, when in a few weeks, Pastor Ruth's going to be calling people to come and learn how to share your faith. What, if you go share your faith, somebody comes to Christ, that is your inheritance. So here we are. When Paul addressed the carnality of the church, he's addressing something that goes beyond just the church. It goes into every sphere of life. Folks, people who are envious or strife-driven and divisive, they do so at all levels of society. Do you think people are just envious or jealous or divisive at church? Thank you for that answer. They're that way. Don't you work with some of them? How many people will say, I can't believe that worker says they're a Christian? Isn't that the detriment of the church? Is that people who do not learn how to not be carnal from the house, they take their behavior into their workplace and destroy the work of the kingdom of God because people are like, I'd rather work with people who are not Christians because they're better than those who are Christians. Because when you are carnal in mind, it goes everywhere with you. The only person who doesn't notice it is you. Come on, folks. The only person who never notices is you. Because everybody notices except you. You're like, I'm a good Christian for God. And they're like, please. The carnal mindset becomes a DNA if you don't go into spiritual nutrients and growing. And so here are some of the carnal mindset. People who crave positions, demands recognition, driven by promotions, give little of themselves, require gifts all the time to be given to them, do not share wealth, manipulate for attention, cares little about others, will destroy others at any or all costs. This describes someone we won't even mention. That's on steroids. But folks, look at it. Do you know people who crave position don't trust God? Because God says, I'm the one that makes the way for you. When you're trusting God, you walk into what God has opened. That He opens your doors, no man can close it. People who demand recognition, they have no confidence in God. Like, I need everybody to see what I'm doing, because you know the greatest workers are those who don't need to be recognized. That's why I always thank God for our parking lot attendants. Marlon and Courtney, y'all stand representing your group over there. Everybody can do something, even if it's standing in the parking lot and just signaling folks in, you bring entry into the kingdom of God. Did you get those hand warmers? I discovered that when I was doing the funeral on Friday at minus 25. Someone said, there's hand warmers at Canadian Tire. Well, I put that in my glove. Right? I was hot like nothing. Those that are online, you don't get it, but you will when you need it one day if you're in Canada. So I recommend now Canadian Tire, a pause in the message for a promotion. At Canadian Tire, our own Canadian store that we're supporting. Don't order it online. Go to Canadian Tire. It's $1.99 hand warmer. Put it in your glove, especially if you have to use the bus. Drop two in your boots, and you'll be stepping into work going. You downtowners that got to walk from the train to from the subway to your office, run to Canadian Tire and get those warmers and drop them in your boots. I'm telling you, pay me later. I'm kidding. Less competition, more accomplishment. As we prepare for the future, everyone who knows Christ as Lord and Savior needs to get involved in the work of the kingdom of God. And Paul says this, each and every person will receive his or her own reward for the work they do for the Lord, regardless of status. Everyone, every person has a reward based on what you do for the kingdom of God. So folks today, both saved and unsaved, there's a fierce competition around material things. The focus today is homes and cars and jobs and special possession and status, and we strive to be greater and better than the other. Such competition is not of God, whether it be silent or loud. We need to have our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus is coming soon, and all these things are hay and stubble that will be burnt up, but what's done for the kingdom of God will last. Can I hear an amen? So we're all going to move into a spiritual maturity. All believers, we're not called by God to compete in carnal things. We're called by God to complete the mission that He's established over all of our lives. We're not called to compete. We're called to complete. How do you complete something? When everyone steps in, they begin, all the gaps are filled. Do you know how many gaps exist right now? Because we function with what 20% of the body, while 80% take from them. It's time for you to figure out, God, what would you have me to do? Because there's something that's going to make me grow. Something's going to give me iron and nutrient and strength, and it's going to put new fiber in my body because I'm doing it for the sake of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:26, remember, dear brothers and sisters, few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Oh, that preaches alone, eh? Do you know so many of us have forgotten that we weren't wise before God called us? That we weren't powerful before God fixed us up? That we weren't wealthy before God's blessings were poured upon us? We think we made the blessing rather than God gave us the blessing. So many of us, Paul says many, A few of you were wise. You weren't wise in the, you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chooses things the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Paul is saying God chose you to shame the devil. Got to remember, it's not you. It's God working. Say it with me. It's not me. Say it to yourself. It's not me. It's God working. That's why the song, All of the Glory, belongs. See, we've been taking a lot of the glory. It's me, and I did this, and I did that. Blah, blah, blah. He can move that in a minute. Praise be to God, for he blesses us. So God doesn't choose us based on our aptitude or our position or our intellect. He chooses us because he chose us. One commentary says, since God's criteria for selection is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our ability or intelligence, we can freely step into what Christ desires for us to do. Because because whatever ability we lack, he's able to help us grow into it by the power of his Holy Spirit. And because of the level of faith and trust we have in his ability, he will empower us for his service. That's what makes the difference. God chooses even the foolish things to confound the wise. I love how God has used me as a pastor all of these 3+ decades, 35 years in ministry. And I'll tell you something, I remain strongly foolish because it confounds the wise. I've seen how God elevates positions, how God has opened doors for me. I've seen what God does. In fact, Pastor Rob prayed for our MPP, Peter Bethlen Felvey. He just gave me an opportunity, 3 minutes to share in the pre-budget meetings. And I asked myself as I sit in front of all those people, who am I that God would be mindful of me? Who am I that I would get these calls and positions of status to be able to address situations? You heard me praying for the hospital. I laced them about the hospitals, and I had no fear because I love how God foolishly uses me to mess them up. I'm going for another meeting this Friday. Why? Because my foolishness that others who are astute are afraid to say. I'm going to say this in the message. I challenge them. These are all CEOs and chiefs and leaders of different things. And I said to them, are we using the hospital to foster a drug culture, or are we using it to stop it? Because I said, when y'all gave me opioid to go home, I'm calling every dignitary on it and asking, why are we dispensing it so quickly? And I'll take it to Ottawa if I have to. Why does God use me? Because I'm so foolish that anything that happens to me, I'll use it for the glory of God. The rest of you are like, oh, I don't want anybody to know I'm hurt. Oh, that's good on you. I'm going to mess up the devil and cause others' life to be enriched. Those of you that are waiting for her to one day become this dignified 3-point pastor, I've been 35 years like this, preaching 56 countries and still in demand. Why? Because any country I go in, be it Asia, India, Africa, Europe, wherever I go, I'm the same that God has called, cleaned up, and put his Holy Ghost in, and they'll get it the same way. I don't fix it up for anyone, and that's why God will open doors that I cannot understand. Some of you are waiting for polish, and you're so you so love the polish that everything's shining and nothing is gaining and growing. The reason many Christians remain spiritual babies when they should be maturing in Christ is they lack the main essentials for growth. Those essentials, you've got to have desire and commitment. If you lack desire to do for God and commitment to do for God, you can't grow. God's not going to zap you with it. I have a desire to fulfill the will of God, and I'm committed to it at all costs, regardless of what it costs me. Are you desirous of what God wants for you? Would you stop waiting on only the ministers to do spiritual duties? Many of you, it's the pastor's job. Why? Why is it my job? My job is to be a shepherd, which I'm doing, I believe, very well. Your job is to be sheep. Does shepherd give birth to sheep? Talk to me, church. Can a shepherd give birth to a sheep? Who gives birth to a sheep? So whose job is it to get more people saved? And my job is to help you with the tools to get the people saved. Your job is to give birth. Stop saying that, Pastor, we should see more people in church. Yes, you. Paul brings back the issue addressed in chapter 1. It says, when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, the other Apollos, aren't you acting like people of the world? After all, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Paul's saying, look, I'm doing my job right now. I am doing my job cutting the word whether you like it or not, using the passage that you like and you don't like. Your job is to grow. Sometimes it'll feel like a rebuke. Sometimes it'll be correction. Sometimes it'll be a blessing. Sometimes it'll be an exhortation. Sometimes it'll be, it all works together. My job is to make sure I cut it. Your job. He says, you're going to follow Paul? What does that mean? So you're following behind Paul. And that's what a lot of people are doing. That's why so many people love online church. I watch 3-4 services, and what are you doing? Oh, I follow so-and-so. He's a great preacher, greater than you. That's wonderful. That's what Paul was saying. Do you know who Paul was? Paul was the most boring speaker. He was. He was so boring, Eutychus fell out of a window dead asleep. But he was gifted to write most of the New Testament. So Paul's like, I don't care if you want to drop asleep when I'm preaching, but you're going to read it for the rest of your life and grow in the Lord. Peter was very gregarious, foot and mouth disease, but he was gifted and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thousands were saved, and we still live on the book of Acts reminding us thousands can be saved in one time moment. Why? Because this foot and mouth disease man knew how to just get out there and use his gift. Those were the ones, they were like, I follow Peter. They're like, yeah, well, then get out and do something. I follow Paul. What are you doing, just following behind? Then there was Apollos. Apollos was very charismatic, but he was gifted with a level of eloquence and intellect. Why was Apollos important in Corinth? Somebody, why was Apollos important in Corinth? Because Corinth had a pagan culture, and Apollos had a eloquence and intellect to debate with them. Paul bored them. Peter, when they were saved, he got them filled with the Spirit. So Paul gave them the word, Peter gave them the Spirit, but it was Apollos that taught them off the tree. You see how it worked? So Paul's like, what are you doing? I follow this, I follow that, I follow that. We all have a job, go do yours. Ministers are nothing in comparison to God. We're instruments of God. We're co-workers, co-laborers with God, called to cultivate the field, but you're the field, and the field needs to produce and keep growing and have offsprings. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 9, each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was who made it grow. Sometimes we expect, Paul, you're going to bring thousands. You, it's your job. Pastor, it's your job. No, it's our job. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their hard work. So you're like, I don't want to work hard for the kingdom because people reject me. You will be rewarded for your hard work. For we are both God's workers. You're God's field. You're God's building. So basically, church, what do we need? We need desire, commitment. We need faith, and we need discipline.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.